All right, we're going to start on the last part of the reading. It's always nice because this is a chance for you to go ahead and, you know, kind of try your wares a little bit. One of my favorite readers tonight, favorite poets, Ellen Smith. Come on.
I think it's cool that Robin and Sten read a collaboration. I'm going to read a collaboration too. If your memory goes back in the Pittsburgh poetry scene, you might remember Frank Corenti. Anybody remember Frank Corenti?
Yes.
Okay, this is a collaboration. He has been going through a long recovery, and he's slowly starting to write. We did a line-per-line collaboration, so this is a pretty early draft, but it's getting somewhere. Tentatively titled Provisional. I forget when last I saw the setting sun, but it was the last drink I swallowed. Visions of Johanna going down the pike, eyes hollowed, growls of motorcycles, Jean Krupa's Sin City sing, sing, singing into the night's shoulder like a needle. A soul in ecstasy enjoys its singularity as a drop of ocean raised up by a wave preserves the interstice of seer and seen. Still, a body needs to lose its edges, time-space regulated by the basso profundo sonar of a solitary late September night. Sound and sound, ghostly picketing. That I have a name is incidental. Wishing for explanation, name is aperture to the meadow or desert of self, but barely. Pull up your bootstraps, proud depression child. Your old way of walking is all heel.
Frank Corenti used to be here many, I'm talking many, many years ago. He was a very moving force in the Pittsburgh area with poetry. He is a remarkable poet. I would consider him one of my colleagues in poetry, and I thank you for that. Okay. This is tough right here because it looks like Jared Levy. Am I correct, Jared?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's great. So this is my first time ever reading poetry, and this was serendipitous because I'm here for this conference through the National Endowment for the Humanities watching soccer, and I hear there's a poetry reading, and I've been trying to learn how to write poetry. I'm working through a book called Sleeping on the Wing and doing these exercises. I do prose otherwise. But this was inspired by Arthur Rimbaud. Is that how you pronounce it? Right? Okay, great. And it's called Sand Beach because I was in Acadia in Maine reading this chapter. I don't know if this is too much explanation for poetry. It seems like people okay, I'll just do it. Okay, great, thanks. It's called Sand Beach. The sand speaks. The sand speaks and says, this moment is fine, but wait until tomorrow. Whispering, lying sand, I know better than to trust you when surfers wade silently yards from shore, waiting for the next wave. In the in-between time, only the waves speak truth, and of course waves can't speak. So sound in the moment. All is changing, in and out of being, the surfers wait. The sand speaks and says, the day is as fine as any, and finally I trust the sand. Thanks.
Artie Solomon.
Thank you, Jimmy, Joan, Dawn, and Hemingways. It's called Two Holidays 2015, Part 1, a poem for Memorial Day. Memorial Day is a day of remembrance, a fancy way of not forgetting those who fought in all battles, battles for independence, battles for liberation, battles to end all battles. But what of those who cannot remember, only to be pulled by their noses to the burning Brussels sprouts, or those who forgot why they climbed the stairs and remembered only after returning to the bottom? In a happy Memorial Day to those who always say, "There goes what's-his-face," and to those who forgot to take their meds and never made it to this one. But Memorial Day is for the soldiers, wanted, always wanted, dead or alive, by a species determined to thin itself, make the world a better place, for recruiting commercials, and a better burial ground for all those ground up in war, bloody, hideous, limb-lopping war. May all your wounds heal. May all your scars remind you of healing. May the names of the dead be cherished, and the names of the survivors likewise. Part 2, July 4th, 2015. Fireworks, flags, family, beer, beaches, barbecues, baseball, holiday of independence, colonies from England. Independence recalls my sister, left home early, flirted with many religions, dated men, the whole spectrum of complexion. Independence recalls her riding home on her boyfriend's Harley, he a painter of nudes, of the same faith, hardly. Can we get back to the holiday? Pass the hot dogs and hamburgers, mayonnaise on my potato salad, mustard on my sweetheart's. She and I are interdependent. So are England and our good old U.S. of A. Can we please celebrate Interdependence Day as well? Thank you.
Hey, all right, I just got one poem. It's called Furries. The short, fat, furry one, and the long, tall, sexy one, and the minx outside with a fedora, and a hole in her pants for the tail. We have a system to differentiate between the sexy and the non-sexy people. We view it as a primordial gift. And you're just the kind of man Emily would find attractive. And I had a dream about Shay at her show. It was practically not a dream, but I feel like I revisit the same places over and over again. An underground bowling alley, a shopping mall, a large cavernous house. And Shay trips and falls, breaks her ukulele in my dream, can see me as I see her through a mirror. All of my stalker predispositions come out at night in the comforts of a well-washed bed. The sheets of yours still stained with chicken shit, the grease causing how many times some kind of awful infection encroaching my arms and legs. Thank you.
Hi. All right. So my first poetry book was published earlier this month, and it's an epic fantasy, or rather the start of it, and this is a short poem from it called Succession. One king dead, a new one crowned. The royal court seething with rumors, fibs, fears, fancies, phantasms, fictions. Gossip for innkeepers, beer drinkers, wine merchants, vintners, sots, soldiers, servants, Latins, strumpets. Mothers name their sons for the new king. Little girls name toys after him. Little boys crown themselves with twigs. The royal bees in the royal hives huddle in clusters, shivering, waiting for spring, ignorant of kings.
Got 16 lines for you, four sayings, four lines apiece. We'll just call it Date Yourself. The ad hoc Rubicon of Kibitz Craft, Kevorkian Conduit via Third World Gym. All are welcome to Exhale Drip Spinach, Reassign Grunt, and Wiggle Profusely. To dig this grave shallow and shed some rain, had an invocation during its freeze. Hallelujah, stood firm. A lot gone wrong. Black dirt erected the selfless amen. Choice inflatable flea market adage, 9% strap on to gaslight or burp. Systemic rapport and jumbo miscue does not extol Tupperware parody. The existentialist encumbrance oops, anticlimactic plaid esophagus. Have at it full tilt or ring toss a wig. Air guitar of adult idiocy. Just to go on with the little music thing they had. Plow my daisy, shucking ear corn. Sure ain't purple, Lord. Misomorpha song. Hog jaw and chowder till the rooster crow. Sure ain't purple, Lord. Misomorpha song. Night went our angel come. Kin folk we rise. Sure ain't purple, Lord.
You're always a lot of fun. Okay. Anybody else want to read? I'm just doing this to get practice because I got to read with the poetry gods next week, and you know I got to think about that for a minute. I'm gonna read you like about four lines of this. I really never know what to read. Yeah. It's called practicing CPR on those that don't need it in case you run into a heroin overdose. I know it's wrong and it can't be right, but sometimes I get these crazy thoughts inside my head, like I wanted to shoot someone with Narcan and administer CPR to them, and even if I know they don't need it. I know a lot of people would ask, why would you do that, dog? And I said, just for practice. I ain't gonna finish that one yet. This is called Confessions of Stealing a Red Pair of Panties. Nobody likes to talk about the stuff like this or admit they have knowledge, and this is not a confession, and even if it was, I used to go to confession, had to confess and tell you the truth. I didn't always tell the truth when I confessed. In fact, I made things up and left things out depending on the swing of the moment or if I felt sorry. which, to tell you the truth, I didn't have much sorrow, and believe in my heart of hearts that you should at least fake like you were sorry. Besides, I never really felt comfortable about talking about certain things, and to this day I don't believe that they should be made public, like hanging your dirty laundry, unless there's a benefit, like you're going to be, like you're going to feel good about yourself and somebody's going to buy you ice cream, which usually isn't the case, usually far from it, and it makes my belly laugh out loud when I hear the pious eavesdroppers stick their noses where they don't belong, because tell you sure they are just plain nosy and far worse and sinner than I could ever be, because I've peeked in many windows by looking into their eyes, because everyone knows the eyes are the windows of the soul. Anyway, it goes on and on. I'll finish it next week. My point is, if you've got to go to confession, it's the thing in Catholic. Don't always tell the truth. Kind of make stuff up. If you're a writer, it's a lot of fun. Hey, I'll see you next week. Thank you.